All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful time together here tonight. Lord, I ask and I pray that you bring everybody on tonight. It's going to be an awesome time. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Lord, I thank you for bringing on the Jasera and Nasera. And the 10 days of darkness and the anointings of the man-child ministry and all of the things that are coming, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for it. Lord, get our hearts ready. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to get off these distractions called the internet. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, and other things as well. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I just want to pray. Father, just come to you, Lord. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight.
Amen.
Give us grace and wisdom to respond to the pressures of this life that are coming upon us. And Lord, we thank you for the faith. We thank you for the strength. We ask tonight that you would give us a clear vision of you and a clear vision of the heavenly.
Amen.
Lord, let us transition, transcend, or whatever. Let us see you, see your face. And Father, just fill us with strength, fill us with your grace, and just fill us with your presence, Lord, above all, your presence in our lives, Lord. Whatever distractions that are coming against us, that we in our ignorance or sometimes just willfully want to relax and veg out, just remove that desire from us, Lord, and put within us a new, strong desire in our heart. Lord, I thank you, your word, as David cried out, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. I just ask that you would do this for all of us, Lord, and that you would. Lord, your word also said that without a vision, the people perish, Lord. And we have plenty of vision and plenty of visions that we see. But Lord, I need a personal a vision myself. I need something personal, and I just don't know what else to say, Lord. So I'm asking you, Lord, just to fill, be present, be with us in strength and presence. And I thank you for it, Lord. I love you, and I just praise you, Lord, for your patience and your wisdom, your strength, your guidance. You know how to guide us into all truth and out of all deceptive influences in our life, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Thank you that you have empowered us to establish your dominion in the earth today. And so I thank you, Lord, that even though these pressures of life and the circumstances and the things that are coming upon us that we see, Lord, and they tend to bring fear and struggle and doubt, and we want to look at ourselves and question whether we'll make it or can make it in these coming influences. Lord, you save your people through the struggles and through the troubles, not away from them, not around them. You take us through them. Because you want to show us that undoubtedly you are with us to conquer what is coming upon us, Lord. And I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for that strength, that wisdom, that courage, that presence in our lives. And I just praise you and thank you for leading us on and guiding us and being our victory, being our refuge. Lord, you are our refuge. You are our high tower, our strength, our supply, and everything we need is in you and in us. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, get us ready. We're longing to see all of these things happen, Father God. And we want to be assured that we're right with you at all times. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you have made that available to us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We know that you're working it in us. There's nothing we can do other than have the faith to believe, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hey, did y'all see the family last night of Winnie? Winnie's family last night? Oh, that was Monday night. Y'all saw him Friday night, didn't you? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we had a good time last night. Go ahead, Julie.
I want to pray.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great grace and mercy and your sovereignty over all things, God. And I know you know what's happening in the country right now with the weather and everything. And I know by faith, Heavenly Father, you've disarmed the deep state and taken away their weapons, their weather weapons that they've been using against us. So I thank you for that. Thank you for the cooler temperatures I'm having here now, and I really am grateful. I really appreciate feeling the cool air in the morning again, and thank you for that. And it'll stay normal, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I lift up the people up in Northern California, there off the coast, up in Monterey County, where there's two huge fires up there, and one was started on the 8th, and it's only 22% contained. And the other one started on the 26th, and it is at 1% contained. And within a day, apparently, it grew like and it grew over 11,000 acres in one day. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for your grace and your safety and protection on all the firefighters and the air and on the ground. Protect them, help them to do their jobs where they cannot get into the terrain because of the demographics there, Lord, and because of steep slopes and a lot of embankments, a lot of places they can't get to on foot. Lord, I send the angels. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will help them get this fire put down, both of them, Lord, and get containment on it. I also thank you, Lord, for keeping people safe, animals safe. And that you're using this, God, to move people out of harm's way, where you're going to bring major, major judgments, and that these people had a chance to evacuate and get out. So help them to relocate where you want them, Father, where these fires are at. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are the God of our salvation. You're seeing, overseeing everything that happens, and you have a purpose in it. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state, draining the swamp, making, the MAGA movement successful for the purposes that you have for it. I thank you, God, for bringing down this faction in the government and turning people back to supporting Trump, delivering them the God from their criticizing and judging and slander and backbiting and hate and just constantly trying to divide people. That's what it is. It's a lot of division. And I thank you, God, that you know what you're doing in that too. Thank you, Father, for bringing to pass your purposes that you have Donald Trump in office, and for the reset, and for restoring the wealth to where you want it to go for the purposes of getting the gospel out in rapid form, rapid ability here in the first initial part of the man-child mission and the anointing there, what you do. Thank you, God. You are so good to us, and I thank you. We don't deserve it, but I thank you, and I thank you, I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you're preparing your bride, and we've been given so much grace and mercy, Lord, and your patience. And I know you keep calling us and keep drawing us. And I thank you, Lord, that we can set aside everything else for you because you are who we want more than anything else. You're our heart's desire. Lord, and help your people to be ready, full of your word and full of your spirit, and to be a blessing and to be able to help people and to be effective at what we do to bring in this revival that's coming, Lord, and prepare the hearts, God of the people, Lord, you want to reach. So many people are so deceived and in the dark about what's happening in the world and why. And we thank you, God, that you're sovereign in control over that, and you're answering our prayers to bring light there, Lord. Many are sitting in darkness, and we know they're going to see a great light here real soon. And we thank you, Lord, for working in their lives and in their hearts, God, that they'd be able to receive what you're about ready to do through your man-child anointing. And we bless your name, Father. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead.
Morning, y'all. I
Hi.
just want to ask, I'm going to pray for, I met a friend yesterday at, well, Monday on one of the managers on the spa store. His name is Bram. I talked about the Lord and gave him a few tracts and few teachings of David. So, Lord, thank you for meeting Bram, Lord. His wife needing work. But, Lord, he's good man, you got understanding, Lord, but he needs more of a true father. Thank you, Lord, for leading him and drawing him, Lord, unto you, Lord. Giving him faith to visit the website, Lord, to show what the difference about the truth is, Lord. Not just the truth that the world gives, but the truth, Lord, that you're giving us, Lord. Thank you for grace and thank you for drawing him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Okay. Amen. Anyone else? Got a prayer? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah. How about a song? Go ahead, Julie. You got it up.
First, I want to emphasize that I requested this song for Thursday night, but I sent the wrong one that didn't have the lyrics. So this one has the lyrics.
Let Come like a mighty wind. Come let your Holy Spirit fall on us again. Come like a rushing water. Come like a mighty wind. Come let your Holy Spirit fall on us again.
Let it fall, Lord, let it fall. Glory be to God. I like that song. All right, anybody else got anything I'd like to share? Is already in chat. Okay. She might have to price. She might have put it in there before you got on her. 7:53. All right. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let it fall, Lord. Let it fall. Praise be to God. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Like to pray about or need prayer? I'll tell you something about last night that we saw. Debbie gets on here. I think she had a word. I couldn't hardly hear her, but I'll let her tell it. But I saw when everybody was seated in there, and we just got through with praise and worship, and I saw Jesus show up. He just was walking around the room, and that was awesome. And I think Shalonda was the one that said he was anointing everyone. I believe that's what she said. Yeah, I think that's what she said. That he was anointing. It might have been Friday night, but I think it was last night. Was it Friday night?
Yeah, you shared it Friday night. I'm pretty sure that's what
Okay.
you shared Friday night, that he
Okay.
was waving at everybody.
Oh, yeah, that was Friday night. But last night, he was up there when he was right waving. But last night he was walking around amongst us.
Yeah, I think you said that on Friday too, and that's what
Could
Shalonda
been. Yeah.
saw him walking around anointing everybody.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Friday you shared that.
Yeah, it happened last night too. Because I just got through saying, telling them that where two or more gathered in his name, there shall I be. There he was. Boom. So praise God. I love those kinds of meetings. And then Debbie had a word also. I didn't get to hear that, so maybe she'll bring us in tonight. I'll actually. That's good too. Anybody else got anything? Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
If no one else wants to speak at this time, the Lord gave me a verse in Psalms few weeks ago, and I had made there was an observation that he gave me a while back. But he kind of developed the point on a few days, a few weeks, a week ago, or something like that. And what it was is Psalm 103:12. And in that Psalm, I'm charging up my watch here. Sorry. I'm distracted. I'm doing two things at once. That doesn't work very well for me. I'll read a couple verses around it just to kind of put context into it. And then share what the Lord gave me out of it. In verse 10, he says, well, no, I'm going to start in 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. And just stopping there and pondering on that thought, that all of his children, he takes through trials and brings us all through our individual wildernesses. And unless you have prepared your heart with the understanding that there's a proverb, and I should have looked it up. Actually, I'm just obviously shooting from the hip here, but it's a proverb, one the Lord showed me way back when and helped me to be able to receive his correction. And in that proverb, it said, the reproofs of life, the way of the Lord is the reproofs of life, or something like that. Doggone it, I probably should have looked that up. Sorry about that. No, it says the reproofs of correction are the way of life. And at that time, I was going through some struggles in my life, and I was being corrected by those in my authority and various different things. And so, the devil, first thing the devil does is say, yeah, God doesn't like you. Look what God's done to you, type of thing. And when I've read and understood that God brings things into our life in order to perfect and to recreate that aspect of his life within us, because of that, it requires us to, in many ways, to stop doing what we're doing or stop believing what we're believing and change and believe what he is saying. The reproofs of correction are the way of life. And so these verses in Psalm 103, he reiterates that in verse 10. He says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities." There's another verse that comes to mind, and that is, if God should mark iniquities, who of us would stand? He has not dealt with us after our iniquity or sins. He's dealt with us out of a heart of love and desire and compassion to bring us to him in a fuller way. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness for them that fear him. And then this is the verse that he kind of developed for me, and it was, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Can you hear me, by the way? Yes, okay. For whatever reason, I'm not getting feedback in my ears or whatever. And the interesting thing, this is kind of how he showed me this, and that is, God's perspective is that he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And how is that? And it's interesting that you could be in any place on the face of the earth, and if you traveled north and continue to go in a straight line, you would eventually get to the North Pole. And if you continued on straight, you would immediately start going south. And obviously, if you continued on that south, straight south trajectory, you would eventually hit the South Pole. And if you continued on straight, again, you would make a transition and transition over to the going north. Because at the north, at the poles, there is a transition from north to south. But that is not the case going west or east. if you were on at any place on the face of the planet and you started going west and you traveled in a straight line, you would continue going west even if you went all the way around the Earth, and even if you came back to the very same spot you were at, you would never meet the East. You would continue going west and you would always go west. You would never meet East. And the only way to actually meet East is to stop where you're at and turn 180 degrees around. And that's the point where East meets the West for you, for me. And God said that as far as the East is from the West, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And as I saw that, I saw that that is a picture of our Christian life, that when we were awakened to the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, the reality of the gospel, at some point we stopped moving in the direction that we were going, and we turned 180 degrees, and immediately we entered into the kingdom of the sun. We turned toward the east, toward the sun. And it's a picture of the repentance and his forgiveness and his mercy. Because when we are looking at the face of the sun and our path is walking toward him, we never encounter our sins, our iniquities. They are behind us. They were nailed on a cross behind us. And as long as we are facing forward and facing him, we are walking in the light of his love, the light of his presence, and the light of the truth. But unfortunately, in that process, the devil throws things in our way, and we're tempted to turn back. We're tempted to stop and turn back and take the reins up for ourselves. And instead of following him, we start making our own decisions and following ourselves and depending upon ourselves. The moment we turn, the moment we face our sin and our iniquity, which was behind us, and now it's in front of us, nailed to that cross. But now we're walking toward it, into it. And the only way of stopping that, the transition back to the light, to the righteousness, and to toward the east is not a long path. It's not a long path at all. It is a simple stop and turn. And that's why he's given us the steps in 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, for he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in turning from the west, turning from back away from our sin and back into his face, we are restored to walk in newness of life. And in that, it also kind of explains the process of discipleship or the necessity of discipleship, because once you have turned around and faced the east and faced the sun, you have to move in that direction. You have to move toward him and continue moving toward him, just to turn and stop and set up shop, so to speak. Passively waiting does not get us through the path where we discover those things within ourselves that need to be removed or altered or destroyed or crucified. So I don't know if it just at the time he gave me that, I just thought it was just very interesting, related to the differences between the no north and south and east and west. And as long as we continue to walk toward him, those sins are as far away from him and us as the east is from the west. So anyway, that's kind of all I wanted to say.
Amen. But there's one caveat to that, though, Pat. What if this was a flat earth? I'm just saying. Okay, no, that's good stuff. Thank you. Hey, all right, Debbie. Debbie's gonna give us the word from last night that the Lord gave her.
Well, Chuck had to leave early so he couldn't get whatever it's called out of the box, everything else he had to keep recording. So I don't have it to give right now, but I have it. I can tell you what he
Okay,
was
yeah,
saying,
that'd be great.
basically. And I have something else really cool to share with you because he confirmed it through a timestamp on audio I was doing tonight. So I was like, what? This is amazing. So but first I'll tell you, well, you heard it anyway, you did hear it. So yeah, he basically was telling us, hang on a second, let me think. He said, don't take, he said, oh gosh, I don't know how he started. He's letting us to lay things down. That he said there's things in our lives, someone's lives. That's how he worded it in a way. There's someone who's got things in their lives and things to be laid down on the altar. And he said, it was basically, my blood is still on the altar. So do this. I don't know the whole thing, but that's what he was saying. He was saying, my blood is still on the altar. Lay these things down. That's the gist of what he was saying. But then, we'll get it from him tomorrow for next time when he gets to, I guess tomorrow at the book study, he'll be able to retrieve it out of that box. But tonight I heard that David was saying, he was talking about our authority and not using our authority. And he said, you're taking your offering off the altar. And I thought, what? You're taking your offering off the altar. You've got nothing so that the Father can confess you before men. You've got nothing for you, for your high priest to offer before the Father, nothing he can give to the angels for authority for you to bring, to be something and bring salvation to you. You've got nothing. You're not a priest, so repent. But the thing about on the altar was just amazing. I thought, you know, we have to come to that altar, lay down things so we can have our authority be given to us. We can't if we're hanging on to struggles in our lives and weaknesses and things like that. And I was really questioning, Lord, was I right in saying my blood is still upon the altar? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, as I know what you were saying, and I think what he's saying is I can't revoke my sacrifice. I laid my blood down. I am the altar. We come to Jesus. He's our altar. And I can't take away my sacrifice. So yes, that's what I think what he meant by his blood is on the altar. But I thought it was kind of neat when he said that. Don't be taking, you're taking your offering off the altar. We offer ourselves. We offer those things that we need to give to him, get rid of ourselves and give to him and place on the altar. And we take them back if we don't use our authority and keep fighting and keep having victory. But anyway, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me to just read it out. So.
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Put everything that's hindering us on the altar and let the Lord take care of it. That's what he,
yeah.
And to
that's right.
Believe that he's doing it.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a good word. Thank you, Jesus. I lay it all on the altar, Lord. Yeah,
thank
praise
you, Jesus.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Is that something you got today?
What I just read was, just before you called me, before you texted me, I had just written it down.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Anybody got any comment on what she said that the Lord showed her? Yeah, Julie.
Debbie, I just want to clarify. This is a word you got last night at the meeting about laying things down on the altar. You're muted if you're trying to speak.
Sorry.
thank you.
It was what I just heard David say on the times that I was just finishing up when Michael called me or texted me about getting on. I just finished writing this down because I was copying what David said. He said all that I just shared you with you.
Okay. But what was that about laying things down on the altar? What was that?
The word last night.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
Night, that laying that down these struggles or whatever it is going on, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever sin, whatever weakness, whatever thing we're still struggling with, or just to lay it down on the altar. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, David. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Julie.
I think what that was speaking to me about, I know that laying things down on the altar, it could mean, as distractions or other focuses or again distractions of the world. But I think for me what it means is that there is myself that needs to be on that altar, because if there is a restriction from the Lord living his life through me. It is somewhere relative to being in the soul or my soul, I guess my life. And I know that the Lord really clarified the diff, you know, the there are no multiple lives, you know, that can be lived. There's only one righteous life that can be lived, that is going to heaven. And that is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that very life is the life that has to replace or exchange the earthly life that we function in or that we were born in, born with in this earth. And that transition has to be allowed by us, you know, as an as individuals. And that exchange process is the portion that the Lord allows us to participate in. And you know, obviously, how is that done? The same way Mary received that word and exchanged that word of what she had believed, and exchanged it by the word the angel Gabriel said to her when he said, you know, this, you've been chosen to be the mother of the Christ. And the power of the Holy One will overshadow you, and that which is to be born within you is that of the Son of God. It is of God. And she received it the very same way that we are taught to receive it, and that is, even so, let it be according to your word, Lord, I receive it. And that transfer, that transition, or whatever happens at that time, you know, when we receive that word, we turn our back on our the earthly word that we were born with, and we exchange it with his word, and in so doing receive that life within ourselves. And so that which needs to be on the altar, at least what I'm seeing in my life, is my life. My inner life needs to be on that altar and ready to receive that new word from the Lord. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Debbie, for that word. It's very meaningful.
Gives us some leading, doesn't it? Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for you continually to help us and show us where we need to be and where we need to be doing. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Help us to do that too, Lord. Help us to lay everything to the altar that's been a distraction for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? Where'd Anna go? She done left out. She's probably putting the kids to bed. Okay, anyone else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Andrew.
I'm just going to make a comment that, you know, this altar, his blood is still upon the altar, and that's our unity with him. And it's a grace from God, and if his blood is still upon the altar, then we don't, we want to be in that unity constantly with him. Because the grace that we want to receive from him is in accordance to what he's already paid for, what he's already redeemed us with. We want to be strengthened in that. We want to be strengthened in this grace, which is in Christ Jesus. And if he's the lifeblood, and we overcome, you know, by the blood of the Lamb, and that's the word of his testimony too. So, which is the rest of that verse too. We didn't love our lives unto death. So that's Revelation 12:11. Yeah. So I just making those statements that there's an overcoming there. And it's always available. So it makes you think, you know, it really does make you think what we're discussing now. Praise God.
It makes you think in a good way, though, doesn't it? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, next, anyone else? Lord, Andrew, let me finish my little prayer here. I want to, something just hit me. I just saw earlier. Lord, I thank you for bringing down this IRGC in Iran. That's the Islamic Revolution Guard people that are running that country. Not even supposed to be over there. It's not their country to begin with. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for bringing them out and putting the people that belong there in power. That it be wrong, the Shah, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let it happen this week, Father God. We ask that your angels go out there and expose what needs to be exposed and bring it down in Jesus' name. Put the fear of God in the IRGC, Father God, and I thank you for it, that they will flee that country thinking that they're going to get hurt if they don't. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay, Andrew, I'm sorry.
I just want to mention the picture of Jesus there walking on the water, and he's overcoming something. Yeah. It's all this different water, you know. It's almost like those verses in Revelation 12 where there's a river of water sent out against the woman, but she's going to overcome it. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else got any comments or would like to share something? I'll grab you real good news. Yep. Let's get into that. I'd like to finish this book, would y'all? It's a good book. I think we're on page 138. No, well, let me know which one we're on in.
I have it marked 147,
I
three
like that
quarters
number better.
down on, huh?
I said I like that number better.
147, three quarters of the way down,
Anyway.
where it says, an interesting thing.
Okay. Oh yeah, I got that marked too. Okay, good.
See, you're right, right where you need to be.
I just had my piece of paper in the wrong, stuck in the wrong place. Okay, we're on page 147. Next to the last paragraph. I'm gonna go ahead and start reading. I'm gonna read a while. An interesting thing was that during this time there was a noble lady about a block down the road who was in the same shape as my mom when she died. Well, her children were down there auctioning off all of her things, though my mom didn't know this because it was a block down the road and she never went down there. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. What's the matter, Mom? And she said, oh, I just watched them as they sold off all my stuff. They were selling off all of my stuff, and I couldn't do a thing about it. I could only just sit there and watch them. When I heard that, I knew it was the demon talking to her, and I realized that the neighbor lady and my mom had the same demonic spirit. And I told her, Mom, there's nothing wrong with your stuff. Everything's intact. Actually, we had arranged for a friend to rent her house over in Louisiana while she was living with us. Anyway, I beseeched the Lord. I said, Lord, I know my mom was not a believer, and she wouldn't turn loose of her dying, dead religion that she was a part of to receive you. But the benefits of the kingdom are still ours, and I am your son. And according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, I'm not under the curse. Yet her being in our house has become a curse to us. It's tormenting our family. And Lord, I'm asking your permission because you're not under the curse. We're not under the curse to cast these demons out of my mom. Well, don't you know that that very night, my oldest daughter had a dream. She saw our house and going out through the middle of our roof was this three-story house, which she knew was my mom's house, even though in real life, my mom's house was only one story. And as she observed this, she saw coming out of the second story that there was a plank leading out to the street, and there were five chickens walking out this plank to the street. And the first thing that came to my mind was body, soul, and spirit for the three stories of her house, which is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The chickens reminded me of the fowls of Revelation 18 and 2, the unclean spirits, unclean birds, they were called. And so I knew that the Lord was saying to me, okay, since her house is in your house and this is bringing you under the curse, then you have authority to cast these out. I knew what the Lord was saying to me, and I was just rejoicing that the Lord was giving me this answer. Praise be to the Lord. And so the next night, I was ready. When my mom came knocking on our door, my wife and I had gone to bed, and my mom came knocking on our door. She called out to, I'm going to keep you awake all night long. Those demons were mean, you know. And I answered her, and I said, oh, no, you're not. And then my wife and I got up. We marched into my mom's room, and we commenced to command those five demons to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ, literally. Names of the demons were coming to us. I remember one of them was dementia, though I've forgotten the other ones. But you don't have to call the demons by the name. You could just call them by what they do, and that'll work just as well. So as these five names came to us, we commanded them to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ, and we didn't stick around. And that's been my habit for years. If you tell demons to come out, you don't have to stick around and wrestle with them. You don't have to argue with them. You can just go on about your business. That's the way I've done it for years. You don't have to argue with demons because they'll know if you don't have any authority. And don't wrestle with them because they'll know for sure that you don't have any authority. If you wrestle with them, if you wrestle with them. So we just walked out of there, closed the door, went to bed, and had a good night's sleep. Amen. Let me tell you the experience that me and David had. Basically the same thing. We had this lady that she was possessed and she knew it. And she wanted deliverance. And we sat there and called that thing out. We'd call it out. We'd call it out. We'd ask her, said, how do you feel? Well, I feel like it's still in there. So we did that a few times more. And I think we both came to the same conclusion, but David said it first. He said, to heck with this. He said, we've already commanded that thing out. It's got to come out. Let's go home. It's time to go to bed. And so we just walked out the door. And this girl said, she come running out the door after we was going down the steps off the porch. And she said, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Praise God. So we just praised God and kept on going. So that you don't have to sit there and argue with it. You don't have to. You just walk away from it. Once you tell it to go, it's gone. It has to. You take that authority and tell it to go, it's got to go. And just walk off. Praise be to God. It does that. I've done that many, many times. We had a lady one time that was full of demons from drug addiction. I started commanding those demons to come out, and I had a bunch of people there with me. And when she started sliding out of that chair, kind of like a snake, she was just following the contour of that chair coming out of that chair. One of the women started running over toward the windows to open the window so the demons could get out. I said, you don't have to worry about that, but go ahead if you think that'll help you. And they did. But she was delivered and she sat up and she said, oh, that feels so great. And she was delivered from that day. So you don't have to sit there and fight with it. Just tell it to go. It's got to go. Okay.
Where do I leave off?
Oh, yeah. I had a good night's sleep. My mom's room was right next to the kitchen. When we woke up the next morning and went into the kitchen, we were noticing how quiet it was in there and how peaceful it felt in the house. So I decided I'm going to peek through the door a little bit and see what's going on in there. And I cracked the door just a little bit and looked in. Wow. Everything was just a wreck in my mom's room. Everything was all over the floor, even the bedclothes. I took a step into the room and looked around, but I didn't see my mom until she came crawling out from under the bed. She had rolled around with those demons on the floor all night long. But I wasn't rolling around there with them, and I didn't even have to worry about it. I just gone to bed. So anyway, she came crawling out from under the bed, and I tell you, I'd never known this lady. I was realizing at this time that she'd had demons all my life. And as a young person and not knowing God, the problems I'd had with mom were because those demons were in her and now she was delivered. Folks, this was a new lady. This lady was kind and thoughtful. She would listen and she was submissive. She'd never been submissive, even to my dad. She'd never been submissive. I was just rejoicing that the Lord had delivered my house from these demons, even though she wasn't a believer. Then at that time, she started picking up Christian books and reading them. And I talked to her a little bit about the Lord, a little bit of it went in there. And as a matter of fact, we had some awesome instances of total deliverance and healing for her up until the time she died. One time, yeah, praise God. One time she decided she wanted to go into an assisted living facility. And she lived there for a while, but they started putting her back on drugs for some things. And I'll tell you, it was a downhill road from there. I'd never seen anything like that. She had a shoebox full of drugs by the time she left that place, and they couldn't keep her balanced. So she was just out of her mind again. Don't ever put your old people into one of those places if they're going to do that. Just, you have to do like we had to do with our mom. Don't give her anything. Don't give her anything. It makes no difference. Call us. And then one day she had some kind of attack. She went into the hospital and they took her off all of those drugs, all of them. She was in the hospital on an oxygen monitor and it was beeping all the time that had her brain, that her brain was not getting enough oxygen. And I had three doctors tell me, David, she's not going to make it. So my wife and I decided to pray that the Lord would bring her totally through this so that she could have some relationship with her children. And then if the Lord wanted to take her, so be it. So we prayed that prayer going to the hospital. And we just thanked the Lord for bringing her through this and saving her from it. Sure enough, when we talked to the doctors there, they said she's just not going to make it. And one of the doctors was my oldest sister, who is a psychiatrist. She too said, Mom's not going to make it, not this time. They knew that her brain was not getting oxygen, and if she came out of it, she wasn't going to be right. But I confessed the Lord in front of them all. I said, oh, yeah, she's going to make it. She's going to come out of this and she'll be fine. Well, lo and behold, by the grace of God, she did come out of a coma that she'd been in for some time with the oxygen monitor beeping constantly. And she was perfectly normal. She was on no drugs, she was mobile. She even went back to that assisted living facility and she was talking intelligibly to people. Everybody was just amazed and they looked at her as a miracle. What happened to her? Well, the Lord's salvation was involved here and not man's works. They were giving her drugs to counteract the drugs, to counteract the drugs, and they'd driven the lady crazy. But she was now free. And everyone saw this as an awesome miracle because she was normal. Glory to God, folks. This is the power that God has. So thank you, Father, and God bless you, saints. Let me can I share some things that I know about the medical profession? The medical profession thinks everything can be fixed by drugs or some form of drugs or something like that. Anything that has to do with dementia or anything like that, that's a spiritual. That is spiritual. You have to cast that demon out before they'll have any relief. You can put drugs in them all day long. All they're going to do is get hooked on those drugs, and it'll be worse than it was before. They do that with a lot of things. Can you believe that they give drugs to get off of drugs? They do. And the people are getting hooked on the drugs that they gave them to get off of drugs with. And you got to ask yourself, what makes sense here? And it's all spiritual. And all we have to do as men and women it's money, men and women of God, is to cast that thing out and don't take them back to the doctor. It's not the doctor that needs to take care of them. It's us as the ones that knows what to do. Faith is spiritual. Sickness, a lot of sickness is spiritual. That's something that we have to believe. As you already know, the largest killer in the United States is doctors messing up. By far, the largest killer of people. How many millions of people do you think died because of the COVID-19 shot? Too many. Millions. Yeah, Judy.
Speaking of, yeah, I just found out just past, I guess it was over the weekend, maybe Friday. Anyhow, my cousin, a first cousin, her husband died, and I didn't realize how sick he had been until her sister had let us know that he had been sick and fighting cancer since February, and it was very, very, I guess there was all kinds of complications, and he had something else, and he developed pneumonia. As you can imagine, I don't know details, but as you can imagine, they probably put him on remdesivir for the pump, pneumonia, and put him on, oxygen and all that stuff. And his immune system was so weak because he had gone through chemo for the cancer, and he died. I guess it was pretty bad, tragic. But anyhow, I was just so grieved when I heard that. I want to pray for my cousin.
Amen.
Father, I thank you from all my family, and I thank you, Lord, for my cousin Donna and all that she's gone through and has been dealing with the sickness of her husband. And I lift her up, God, and I pray that you comfort her and all of his family and those who are close to him, that you give him strength each day and help them, Lord, draw them close to Jesus and help them find joy in rejoicing that his suffering is completely over and he's home with you. He was a good man, he was a good husband, and he was a good stepfather to her kids. And he was well respected in his community, and he was loved by very many people. And I thank you, God, that he had a long life, but it was taken too soon because of the pharmakia. And they don't know what they don't know, God, about the vaccines. And I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient when the information comes out about all these things, Lord, that they're able to cope with all that news, Lord, and turn to you. Draw them in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, they have a warrant out for Bill Gates and Fauci in Russia. They want them over there because they killed a bunch of their folks. Anyway, Lord, I just thank you that you've given us a way to by step all of that. We could come to you and be healed immediately. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got anything before we start this next chapter? Oh, this is a good one. Authority and Demons, chapter 12. Anybody got any comments they want to make before we get going here? Trump is, I'll say this, Trump is wanting to shut down pharmakia. He's wanting to shut down the medical establishment. And the way he wants to do it is through these med beds. He thinks that that's going to do it. I don't know. I don't know how they work, but they apparently are doing some good with them. Go ahead, Pat.
It just when Julie was talking about that, it just dawned on me that I think I gave a testimony a few weeks ago, and it had to do with this itching that I had that I believe that I caught poison ivy, and that it was on the back of my neck. And I remember saying, it was a bit of a revelation that the Lord gave me. Oh, that's what it was. I was reading about this, seeing some things relative to using hydrogen peroxide. I think I talked about this before. Well, I put that hydrogen peroxide on my neck that was doing all the itching, and The next day, it spread, throughout my body. And I was itching everywhere, all over the place. And so I realized that that was spiritual. It was not, your body doesn't have the ability to itch, in one place, and if something comes against it in that place, it'll decide of its own. It's going to move over to another part of the body. Your body doesn't work that way. If it works that way at all, is in the soul, or it's spiritual. I realized that there was another mindset that was functioning there. Well, so anyway, and I kind of gave that testimony of that revelation. But anyway, I just want to praise the Lord because He removed that itching completely from my body, and it didn't happen like overnight. It happened over a few weeks, but it was so persistent. I mean, it was an itching that wasn't coming from the surface. It was coming from within my body. It was like maybe a nerve. It was at the nervous level or whatever. But anyway, I just kept casting it down and claiming the Lord's healing by His stripes, and it's gone now. It went away. So I don't have it. So anyway, I just thought I would praise the Lord and thank Him for His healing. Even though it didn't happen as quick as I wanted to see it happen, it happened and it's gone. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Chapter 12, Authority and Demons. Second paragraph. Well, brethren, we've been talking about the real good news. And I'd like for us to begin today's study here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet. That means able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Lord made us able to partake of our inheritance. Verse 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've already been delivered. That's the good news. We know we have a right to cast out demons. We know we have a right to take authority over the power of darkness because the Lord already delivered those who believe. And of course, that's the question in our mind whenever we go to administer God's blessing to people. Do they believe the gospel? So we share the gospel with them. And when we see it, they do believe, or if they don't believe, we have authority according to that. If they believe, we can administer the blessing. Colossians 1 and 13. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Redemption is the release of a prisoner in exchange for a sum of money or other payment demanded or paid. The Lord paid the ransom so that we could be set free from bondage. We have been redeemed. Isn't that what a ransom does? He paid the ransom. And we don't belong in bondage, saints. And as believers, we also have the wonderful gift to be able to administer this gift to other believers. The Lord said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe, and in my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So it has to be in my name. The only condition is to be a believer, and not necessarily even a mature believer, just a believer. You just have to believe, and that means babies in the Lord are entitled to these benefits the same as adults. All believers, even from a baby Christian on up, have a right to do all the signs there in Mark 16. And one of those signs is to cast out demons. The verse says, in my name. Well, what does it mean to be in God's name? Doesn't it mean to be representing him? In his name means in his nature, character, and authority. That's what name means in the New Testament. So in God's name, representing him, we will cast out demons, and these signs will accompany those who believe. That's the condition. And again, I want to say that the believer is not necessarily somebody who is mature in the Lord. You don't have to bring people who are oppressed or possessed to the preacher. In fact, many times a preacher may not know what to do with them. True. But even as a baby Christian, you can do the work of the Lord. You know, the Bible says something very interesting in Ephesians 1 and 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, what is it that God called you for? What has he prepared you for? And what has he prepared you to do? What are your orders? Well, you could find some of them, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 3 through 12. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. He made us able to partake of the inheritance that we have. Ephesians 1 and 19. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. We need a revelation of the power that God is willing to manifest to all people who believe. Mark 16, 17, and 18. It's very plain that these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. And according to that working of the strength of his might, Ephesians 1 and 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. What else happened when Christ was raised from the dead? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. When Christ was raised from the dead, who else was raised from the dead? We were, folks. When Adam fell, all mankind fell because the seed of all mankind was in Adam when he fell. But Jesus was the last Adam. He is called, by the way, in the original manuscripts, the father of eternity, Isaiah 96. And so, just as all mankind fell when Adam fell, when Christ was resurrected, all of those in him were also resurrected. Somebody else want to read a little bit? Okay. John 20:21. Jesus.
I can read, Michael.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
If you want to take a break, I can read. John 20:21. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. He sent his disciples with authority, the very same authority over the curse that he had. Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. So Jesus was made to sit above all authority, all the principalities and powers, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. We see here that Jesus is above, he's the head, and all the principalities and the powers are under his feet. This means, of course, that God put all principalities under the very lowest member of the body of Christ. Even if you're the feet of the body, you have dominion over the principalities and powers. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All these principalities are under the feet of the body, and Christ is the head of the body. That lets you know that even the very lowest, the very least of us, has authority over the devil's kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. It also brings to mind the revelation in Daniel about the image of the beast, where the toes represent the end time kingdom. Daniel 2 and 32. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This image, which was mighty and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. And for this image, its head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art king of kings, unto whom the God of heaven hath given the kingdom, the power, and the strength, and the glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that crushes all these shall it break in pieces and crush. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be divided. A divided kingdom, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron doth not mingle with clay. According to Jesus, there is only two men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. The beast kingdom is all those in whom the Antichrist lives. It's the body of Antichrist, if you will. Luke 17:34. I say unto you, in that night there shall be two men on one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. There shall be two women grinding together, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. There shall be two men in the field. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. So just as it was in the days of Jesus, in these days the body of Christ will face off with the body of Antichrist. And if you see the body as a type being stretched out over history, as Daniel also did, then you see that we're at the end of this history. We're the people who are going to take dominion over the devil's kingdom. We're the people who are going to crush the devil's kingdom and bring it to naught, destroy it. This, according to Daniel, has been given unto the saints, folks. Daniel 7:26. But judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Praise God. In these days, God's people are going to rise up, or should I say, God is going to rise up in his people and crush the kingdom of the beast. The seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head, Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In these days, that's going to be fulfilled. You see here clearly that he has put every principality and power under the end time saints, not that they haven't always been under all, not that they haven't always been under all of the saints, because the body is above the feet, obviously. But in these days, it's going to be manifest. In these days, we're going to see greater works than in Jesus' day in crushing the serpent. Of course, Jesus obviously did it all. It was all accomplished for us, but the body of Christ is going to bring it to pass in these days. Praise God. Want me to continue? Anyone have comment, questions? That's just, reading that. Just powerful words, what God's going to do, all the greatness of the kingdom, what we're going to do, what we're going to be part of. Thank you, Lord. Get
Yeah.
us ready.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You want me to con
All
you want me to
right.
continue?
I can go here.
Okay, go ahead. I can
Remember
read
that
too.
Okay, Barbara, go ahead.
Just to give you all a break. Remember that you don't have to bring people. Oops, I meant. Sorry. Remember that you don't have to bring people to someone else. You can just exercise your authority. God will use you to cast out demons, and here's another confirmation of that. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory upon the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths and babes of sucklings. Doesn't sound like you have to be very, very mature in order to take dominion over the Lord's enemies, does it? Psalm 8:3. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. As you read on, you find a text that was also quoted in Hebrews 2:6, and it reads, Psalm 8:4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him but little lower than God, or some versions say angels. The word here is Elohim, and it means mighty ones. In the Old Testament, it's translated many times as God, and crowneth him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. There it is, folks, all things. In these days, God's people are going to get the revelation that they're the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. Psalm 8:7, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The curse was the opposite of that, wasn't it? So we see that God's people have been given dominion. God spoke to those who were in his name. Jesus spoke to those who were in his name. He said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. None. This dominion was first spoken of Adam, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Adam was given this dominion over the earth, but Adam sinned and everyone in him fell. Romans 5:12. Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. He sinned, and they inherited sin, and they fell. 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Well, Adam obeyed the devil, and the devil took dominion over the earth. But then Jesus came along, who is called the last Adam, to restore that dominion. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. You want me to pause or stop? I mean, oh, he's not there. You want me to go on? Okay. When Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil lost. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. And the tempter came and said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, again it is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus didn't obey the devil, so he retained dominion, and he passed that dominion on to his children. Well, who were and who are Jesus' children? They're identified in the Bible as his disciples. As a matter of fact, he called them children several times, like in John 21:5, because they were his spiritual children. You want me to read on? I can't hear you, Michael.
I said, no, if somebody else wants to read, that's fine. I just lost where you are. So if somebody else will take over, it'd be fine.
I'm down at the bottom at 154, where it starts out with just as when Adam fell. The very way last down there.
I can read, Michael.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Just as when Adam fell, all mankind fell in his loins with the seed of all mankind. So also when Christ was resurrected, we were all resurrected, because in him was the seed of all the body of Christ. And so this was first spoken of Adam here, about man and the Son of Man. Adam and his children were given dominion over all the earth, but when they lost it, when Paul in Hebrews 2, chapter 6, verse 6 says, apply this verse to the last Adam, who was the father of a born-again creation. And the last Adam didn't lose dominion. He passed it on to his children. But his children, these days, have forgotten that. they don't understand that, they don't have that revelation in their heart. As the body of Christ, who have the same dominion that the first body had, which is another revelation that God is going to bring to his people in these days, we defeat folks. We have an end time body. We have an end time body that's going to have dominion over all the principality and powers and rulers of darkness. And notice that it's the children. Even the children can do this. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And boy, does it ever. How many times in the scripture did God use weak vessels to conquer great, enormous vessels? For example, Israel always seems to be in a minority whenever they won a battle. God's power was always made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He loves to use children to do things. Some people think, well, I'm not mature enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough of a word in me. Therefore, I can't do this. I'll have to bring them to the pastor. Well, I can tell you that in many cases, the pastor may be younger than you. It has nothing to do with the age in the Lord. It has to do with maturity. It has to do with someone who is a believer. You have to believe in order to cast out demons. That's the condition. You have to believe. And as believers, there are two things we need. We need authority, and we just discovered that we have authority. God gave us authority. Yeah, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority is a right to use power. We saw in the scriptures, as a matter of fact, that Apostle Paul used the power even to the devil. He had the right to use it. He turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 4. He turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to the devil, so that they might be taught not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 20. And you know, the devil is a fierce taskmaster. He will whip you good. He'll whip you until you're ready to say, I repent, Lord. But the devil is working against himself because of what he does to mature the people of God, and by ultimately going to destroy him. Mark chapter 3, verse 24. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan have risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but have an end. Every kingdom that's divided against itself will not stand. The people of God are going to destroy the devil's dominion. They're going to destroy the beast's kingdom. But God's kingdom is going to reign forever. When the stone in Daniel 2 rolled down out of a mountain that struck the image of a beast in the feet, it crumbled the whole thing all the way back to the head, folks. The seed of all kingdom is still with us today, and God has given us dominion. I mentioned that there's something else we need to need besides authority, and that's anointing. We need anointing. Now, I'm not saying it's absolutely necessary. The seven sons of Sceva cast out demons, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit did they? What they did have was a covenant right. But by the time the Lord came and preached the truth, they were preaching Jesus, whom Paul preached, was not enough. It wasn't enough to preach to someone that didn't know anything anymore, and no God held him responsible. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. But certain also of the strolling Jews, exorcists took upon them to name over them but they have evil spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said unto him, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and mastered both of them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. But the disciples, these ignorant fishermen, weren't trained in Bible schools. They went out there and cast out demons. They did miracles and mighty works because they knew they had been given authority. Yet, Jesus didn't do one miracle until he received his anointing. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended on a bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven. Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And from there the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness during 40 days, being tempted of a devil. In type, the Israelites were baptized in the sea and in the cloud, representing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after which they were led into the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that we were all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in a cloud and in the sea. Let's stop. We can go on, Michael.
I'm trying to find out where you are so I can take over.
Page 156, the last paragraph.
156?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last paragraph starts with folks.
Okay.
You need to be filled with.
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, folks, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Multitudes, some 90% or more of people who claim a born-again experience, have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a shame, because it was much higher percentage in the early church. Whenever the apostles found the disciples, one of the first things they asked them was in Acts 19 and 2, it says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And it was very common in the early church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of the gifts. So why was it then that Jesus, after receiving this great anointing, had to be led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil? Notice the Holy Spirit didn't tempt Jesus, but the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. It's because in Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nation. The Lord had authority to give Jesus. But first, Jesus had to overcome the temptation of the devil. Why? Well, you remember what happened to Adam. Adam was tempted. He flunked the test. He lost the dominion. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus beat the devil every time with the word, with the sword of the word of God, until the devil finally backed off for a season. Jesus overcame, and God gave him authority. To him that overcometh, to him will I give authority. If you overcome the temptation of the devil, excuse me, God will give you authority. It's not just faith, folks, it's holiness. Again, I'm not saying we have to be perfect in order to exercise authority. Nobody would ever get to perfection if that was true, you know. And Jesus said in Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The anointing is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, the yoke of bondage to the old man, the yoke of bondage to the beast. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The anointing does that. The anointing is power from God to give us dominion. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, he heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. Well, here you have probably the most valuable men on earth. These disciples who had been trained by the Master himself. And the Lord said, no, you don't need to go to Bible school. You just need to wait here and receive the Holy Spirit. Many people come out of Bible school with their certificates and they go straight to work in the church. They don't have to overcome to receive authority. Excuse me. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees had that kind of authority. But it was fleshly authority. It wasn't the kind of authority like Jesus had. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Well, he did have authority. And it was because Jesus had overcome that he received his authority. And so these disciples too had to be filled with the Spirit and go through their own wilderness and overcome and exercise this authority. Me see here. Well, we can stop right there. Looks like we're about out of time. Somebody mark it. Let me see. I'm going to mark it, but that doesn't mean it's going to be there when I get there. Yes, it will, in Jesus' name. All right, anybody got any questions or any comments? How many, everybody knows that you have the authority just like Jesus had the authority. You have dominion just like Jesus had dominion. You have a new creation, creative spirit in you that has all the power that Jesus and the Holy Spirit had. We have it. And it's up to us whether or not we get to use it and use it wisely. So, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful lesson that David's given us. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that he's teaching us that we can walk and talk and act just like Jesus. In fact, you have ordered us to do that, to go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. And we thank you for that, Father, that you have placed it in our hearts, those that you want to go out and do that. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. I know that in the time ahead, Lord, that many people are going to go out with signs and wonders following them that's going to bring a whole bunch of people into the kingdom. And we praise you and thank you for that, Father. Give us the boldness, Lord, to declare it every time we see it. And Lord, when we go to Walmart or the grocery store every day, if we see somebody in need and hurting, Lord, give us the boldness to go up there and tell them, say, Lord told me to come over here and talk to you and want me to pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? And they're going to say one or two things, yes or no. I do it quite often because the Lord has told us to do that. That's what He's told us to do. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for a wonderful night tonight for everybody. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome day tomorrow to protect us, guide us, lead us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, good night.